The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Kiefer and Curry Show. Along with Kip Kiefer, I am Tony Curry. It's just two normal Joes sitting around talking about things that are important to us. And normally it has a little bit of a sports spin, and it will today. You can hear the show, of course, every Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Central Time on the TKR app. It's all you got to look up, those three little letters, Kip. TKR. Go through Android or Apple. It's going to show up as a flaming guitar, and that's because we play a lot of classic rock, but we have 14 different shows. We're adding new shows all the time. And of course, we're also available wherever you get your favorite podcast. First of all, how you doing, brother? We got so much going on with our new TV show starting here September 2nd on ABC 3340. Butts up against that ACC game of the week. I'm excited about that. You got the Need to Know show. Man, we're on fire, brother. We're on fire.
Well, Tony, let me just give you this indicator. Anytime I jump up at 6:20 a.m. to start my day, you know I'm inspired. Because that is you call us normal Joes. That is abnormal for Kip Kiefer.
I hear you. Hey, listen, so normally we talk about things that are pretty doggone topical to us. And we've got to college football season. We're doing the show here on August 15th. So 2 weeks from this Thursday, we're going to have college football in full force. So we'll certainly be talking a lot about that. But I got Major League Baseball on my mind. My Cincinnati Reds are still only a game and a half out of a wild card, and I can't believe that with only 39 games to go, which is crazy. It's fun to watch that. And the Atlanta Braves, and I know you're a Braves fan, have had one of the most miraculous and incredible seasons ever. They are a run-producing machine. What they do just in first innings is absolutely crazy. They not got one, not two, but three guys that could potentially be an MVP in any other year, all on the same baseball team. And so they're playing the New York Yankees. They won last night. They blew them out. They're playing them again. I'm going to go check them out tomorrow. I've seen the Braves, obviously, because we're in close proximity of Atlanta. We're 2.5 sure. hours away, 2 hours and 15 minutes. And I'm so excited because I've never seen the Yankees play. And I wanted to get into, on the Kiefer and Curry show today, just the brands and the teams we want to see just based on branding. And it's amazing because I went through the first thing I looked up and I Googled, you know, top branding teams just to make sure that I wasn't missing anything. There is not a list out there of teams that people want to see just based off their brand alone. Because most of them are professional sports. You've got, obviously, Bayern Munich. You've got FC Barcelona in there. You got the Yankees. You got the Knicks. You got the Warriors. You got all the sports. But then I'm thinking to myself, okay, where are the Alabama Crimson Tides? Where are the Georgia Bulldogs? Yeah. Where are the Gonzaga? Where are the Zags? Where are some of these other teams that I really consider that they have such a great brand that I want to go see them play? And I feel honored to go to, say, the Forum and see the Lakers play just several months ago in the NBA playoffs. And I know that you get a chance to go see a lot of hockey games. And I would consider the Las Vegas Knights one of those brands as well. What's your thoughts, man?
Well, I mean, you're hitting on something that I've talked about for probably my entire life as a sports fan. There are just certain teams and organizations that carry a mystique in spite of how good they are. And generally, Tony, it's amazing how those particular brands, those particular teams are either dearly loved and revered or hated. It doesn't seem like there's any kind of middle ground. The Yankees are a great example. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to Las Vegas, to Florida, in sports bars. I mean, no matter where you go in this country and watch sports, there are Yankee fans by the multitudes every time you're sitting there. On a Tuesday afternoon, they had some kind of rainout doubleheader going on. The last time I was in Vegas, sitting in my favorite sports book, the Green Valley Ranch, and there was probably 30 people in the whole sports book on a Tuesday afternoon. And the Yankees and Tigers were playing a makeup game from the one rained out the night before. And I'm telling you, Tony, 25 of the 30 people were cheering wildly if a Yankee, you know, took a pitch outside for a walk. I mean, it's just crazy how much loyal support they have. And the mystique of even last night, tuning in to the Braves-Yankees game, which opened a three-game series at Truist Park. And I'm excited that you and your son are going to see that, because Truist is a great atmosphere. It's out in the suburbs off 75. Every game is sold out. But there's just something about seeing the New York Yankees. If you love them or hate them, it's such an established brand. And you can't look at those gray uniforms on the road or the pinstripes at home and not think about Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig and all the Mickey Mantle and all of the amazing guys that have worn that uniform and the history of that team. And the uniform and the brand, the continuity that they bring, is the mystique. It's not the current team. This Yankee team is 60-59 with the second highest payroll in baseball. They're one game over 500. And Tony, they are in last place right now in the American League East.
You got a team like the Mets who won 100 games last year, but that's not a team I want to go see. Now, if the Mets were in town, I would want to go see them. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not going to drive or fly to New York to see a team like the Mets, but I would for the Yankees. Absolutely. And that's the amazing thing. And so I was thinking to myself, what does it take, Kip, to make a team like this? And first of all, it's not something that's done overnight. And I do want to get into a very interesting point of these top 10 branded teams I did find on the internet, because there's one team that I don't quite get yet, but I'll get into that in a second. But it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of winning. It takes a lot of legacy. It takes a lot of great players. I think a player is a really important thing. Would I have gone to see the Lakers play Memphis had I not known that LeBron James was going to be playing? Probably. And they're still that brand. I still want to go see the Lakers, because I do think the Lakers are bigger than LeBron, but LeBron puts it over the top. And then you gotta sprinkle a little showbiz. You gotta sprinkle a little entertainment. What's America's team in the National Football League?
The Dallas Cowboys.
They've been number one forever when it comes to not only the cost of their franchise with their worst, but their brand. People love to go see the Dallas Cowboys. I cannot believe, and I got a chance to see them at Tennessee, up the Tennessee Titans, which is not one of those teams. Now they're 3 hours away, so I'll go see Tennessee Titans games, but I'm going more to see who they're playing than I'm actually going to see the Titans. Sure. And I thank the Titans for having a stadium and a team up there so I can see these other teams that I want to see more than yours. I have gone up there to see my Cincinnati Bengals, but my Bengals aren't a brand. They're not the team. Now, I want to go see them because I love them, but I don't want to go see them because they're a brand. People from LA aren't flying to the Midwest to see the Cincinnati Bengals play because they're part of the brand. I want to go through the top 10 teams. This is based off branding / worth of their team. And then there's some other pre-qualifiers about social media posts and how often they're mentioned and hashtags and things like that. So the Dallas Cowboys, number one. Yankees, number two. The Knicks are number three. And chime in on any of these if you don't agree.
Well, let me just say about the Knicks.
Yeah.
The Knicks, Tony, have absolutely sucked for 30 years.
Yeah.
I mean, people think of the Knicks and they still see Willis Reed limping on the court with a completely torn up knee to play 2 minutes in game seven against the Lakers against Jerry West and Wilt Chamberlain. That's the last time the Knicks were even prominent. I mean, they've had a couple of decent seasons under the Patrick Ewing years, but the Knicks are terrible. And for them to still be number three on that list, you know, that's as much to me says New York arrogance as anything else, because that's a franchise that has just been lousy for a very long time.
But would you put the Knicks in that mix as the blue bloods of a team that people go travel to see, even if they don't have an interest in the team itself?
Yeah, see, I don't know. I'm anxious to hear the rest of the list, because if I was giving you my top 10, that they would not be on that list, especially ahead of the Lakers and Celtics, who I think are much more prominent franchises than theirs.
And I know that word blue bloods is used a lot because you can make an argument in college football. I think Notre Dame is in that conversation. I think it's one of those things where you got to go see. That's why that Alabama Notre Dame game back in 2008 was so big, or 2012 was so big, because it was blue bloods, despite the fact that Alabama just roughshod and blew them away. The Golden State Warriors, number four on this list, despite the fact that they are, obviously a legacy team. I don't put them in the same breath, but I would go see them just because the players on that team, not so much for the brand of the team. Agreed?
Yeah, I mean, they are the kind of it team that has emerged, because for many years that was another terrible franchise. But Steph Curry single-handedly has basically transformed that team into must-see TV.
And you can definitely say they're part of a dynasty as well. The Lakers land number 5. Real Madrid, number 6, FC Barcelona, number 7, the New England Patriots, number 8. And this list just came out 2 months ago. What do you think about the New England Patriots? A team that has not even sniffed their division the last 3 years, obviously Tom Brady leaving a big part of that.
Yeah. I go back to, a line from other times when coaches saying, you know, and I think really the best example to say for that is coming out of that tunnel, it's not going to be the guys you expect. So I really don't know if they should be on the list. Again, that doesn't really move me to any great feelings of prominence. But you know, then again, you know, Tom Brady is gone away. He's like Joe DiMaggio. Where have you gone, Tom Brady? Just like Joe DiMaggio and Mrs. Robinson. I think the Patriots' success was driven by the Tom Brady. He was a brand all to himself and kind of drugged the Patriots along with him. But they are a shell of the team that they once were.
As much as I love them, I'm not traveling 3,000 miles to see Mac Jones.
Absolutely
play. I love me some Mac Jones and I love me some Alabama football, but that's not going to happen. And here's kind of the difference for me, because when Tom Brady and Gronk were there, it was show business. It was good times. You know, Gronk was that knucklehead doing crazy things, dunking the football over top. I get all that. And that put it over the top. And perhaps that would have been a destination team for me. I'll call it a destination team. But I think the teams that really should be on this list as blue bloods or teams you've got to see just because their brand are teams, regardless of whether they have a good player or not, they still have that mystique. And I think you nailed it with the Knicks. I think that's one of those teams. Now, if you can see the Knicks at Madison Square Garden, good night, because yes, that venue right there, and I know you've been there, that venue is one of those, Carnegie Hall. Those are venues that if you get a chance to go to the Coliseum, if you get a chance to go see one of those venues and see a blue blood at the same time, your head will just explode. Bayern Munich is number 9. I don't really get the whole soccer thing, but I do understand they're on the list. And then the New York Giants. This list just came out.
Are you kidding?
This list just came out 2 months ago. The New York Giants, they're not only worth $5 billion, but they are named just, and again, you're talking about New York City, so you're talking about a lot of social media presence, but the New York Giants are on this list at number 10. Your thoughts?
Another terrible franchise that's had a few moments of prominence, but not very good. The New York brand is huge, but here's my problem with the Giants, and you nailed it a second ago. The Knicks experience at Madison Square Garden is something that a real sports fan has got to go see.
Yeah.
Just like the New York Rangers hockey team. The Garden is part of that brand of those franchises. The Giants don't even play in New York. They play across the river in Jersey at the Meadowlands, where Jimmy Hoffa lays underneath. The Meadowlands is one of the most, cookie cutter, nondescript stadiums that you can ever imagine. There's nothing special about it. It's just a big concrete edifice. So the Giants brand is not even enhanced by where they play, like some of their members of this list. I find their inclusion on that list absolutely pathetic, especially now that Aaron Rodgers has taken the controls of the New York Jets, who also play at Meadowlands. And I think there's going to be so much more spotlight on them this year than the Giants, with Daniel Jones at quarterback. How many people on the street when you walk up and go, "Who's the quarterback for the New York Giants?" are gonna come up with Daniel Jones from Duke. I don't think very many. Some people might still think Odell Beckham's on the Giants, but he's long gone. They don't have anybody notable. Saquon Barkley maybe out of Penn State, but the Giants, I don't put them anywhere near that list.
Now, and I think we could do another one of these lists because I wanted to throw in concerts too, because I know how much you love the live music experience.
We could
definitely do a show on some of these concerts, on some of these bands that you really have to see, bucket list shows, and they're going away so quick that you just don't get a chance to see the ones you really like, the Grateful Dead, for example, or the Eagles when Glenn Frey was still with the band, or an AC/DC who's doing a one-time show on October 7th, and I'm thinking to myself, do I need to go see this band because we'll ever see them again? I want you to kind of just right off the top of my head, I know you've had some time to think about this, but right off the top of your head, in all of sports, college football, college basketball, NFL, NHL, Major League Baseball, whatever, just throw out a couple of more other branded teams that you believe that you would go cross country to go see just because of their brand.
Yeah. I mean, college basketball is a great place to start. And I noticed there's no college teams on that list, but college basketball, you think about that and it's pretty simple. It's Duke, it's Kentucky, it's Kansas, it's UCLA. Those are iconic brands in college basketball that even if those teams aren't very good, you're going to make an effort to go see them. You know, I can tell you my oldest son, Case, who we've done some shows with here and is in our starting lineup coming up this fall. Case Kiefer attended University of Kansas or Kansas University, KU, and going to a game at Allen Fieldhouse is just an experience. And I think you really hit on something I really didn't think about. Tony, so many of these examples, it's the venue.
Yeah.
If I go to NFL football, I've had the opportunity to go to several games at Lambeau Field in Green Bay. I mean, that was just something that I'll never forget. That it's the venue and the brand combined, but the venue as much as the team and the uniforms and all the mystique. Seeing the Packers on the road is just an ordinary day, but seeing the Packers at Lambeau is a special experience. In Major League Baseball, you know, going to a game at Dodger Stadium in Chavez Ravine. I hate the Dodgers. I can't stand them. They just the best team money can buy. But, you know, those kind of places to go watch games, to go to Dodger Stadium was just a special experience. So, it's funny how, you know, where they play is as important as how good a team they are and who they're playing.
No doubt.
But again, some of those teams, you know, I've seen the Dodgers countless times over in Atlanta. That's nothing special. But to go to Dodger Stadium, that was a big deal.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, it's funny. You mentioned college hoops. I think North Carolina. They're still blue bloods for me. And I enjoyed the bejeebers out of watching Alabama Gonzaga play down the BJCC this last year, not only because we just don't get a chance to see teams that good. Now, you'll certainly see them at Coleman Coliseum because Alabama's now one of those perennials. They're that good. But I put Gonzaga in there just because they're so far away, and it's just such a weird strain. Mark Few has been a Hall of Fame coach. He's been doing it for 20 years, and I put them in that brand. You know, you go back to college football, certainly Alabama is one of those blue bloods where I think people travel. I think they have the largest alumni system in the entire world. I mean, you could go to Manchester or anywhere else in the world, and there's going to be alumni groups for Alabama. I mentioned Notre Dame, and I know people don't want to say that because Notre Dame, despite the fact they really haven't been huge for a long period of time, they have played for national championships. They've made the playoffs in the CFP. But I still think there's that mystique, touchdown Jesus. I mean, to actually go and see them play at Notre Dame Stadium, it was unbelievable. Ohio State, I've been to the Horseshoe. I've been up there, and I'm telling you, it is a religious experience. And my brother lives in Columbus. I don't like Ohio State. I liked them even less when Urban Meyer was their head coach. But to stand outside that place, man, the hair on your arms rises. It's unbelievable. But I think of teams like Oklahoma. I think about Tennessee. I think about LSU. It's not there for me. I love going to LSU Baton Rouge for a Saturday night game as much as anybody. And is it an experience? To your point, I think going to Ole Miss and hanging out in the Grove is one of the best experiences in all of college football. But am I going to travel for it? And does it feel extra special? Maybe it's because it's in our backyard. Maybe it's because we're SEC fans. We get a chance to go to a lot of these games. It possibly could be. You want to go Major League Baseball. And I love me some Major League Baseball. And I love the fact that they've shortened the clock. I think the game is better than it's ever been. It's been unbelievable. Maybe it's because my Reds are actually in the hunt this year. But I think of the Boston Red Sox. I have never seen the Green Monster, and it's one of those things where I've got to see it before I die. I've never been to the north side of Chicago to see Wrigley Field. I've got to go see Wrigley Field. I haven't been to Yankee Stadium, despite the fact I'll see them coming up. You mentioned the Chivas. You mentioned the Dodgers. That's one I didn't even think about, but you've got to go see it. I mean, if you're
just such a setting, it's unbelievable. The way the stadium is basically on top of a mountain, and you drive straight uphill to get there, and all the surrounding area. And Dodger Stadium, again, I can't stand the Dodgers, but I love being at Dodger Stadium. And the Dodger dog, Tony, is absolutely essential. I don't know what they do to enhance their hot dogs, stadium hot dogs, but the Dodger dog is a delicacy.
See, and I would put the St. Louis Cardinals in that mix. Now my ex is from right across from St. Louis, and so I've gotten a chance to see the Cardinals, and maybe that plays it down a little bit for me. But as far as in a brand, I'd probably have to put them in that mix. Let me ask you this: has there ever been a team that you went to see? And maybe it was, and I think you bring up a great point that it is the venue. I think the venue means a lot in this part of the country in the South, where we're really geographically not close enough to a lot of the Western and Eastern bordered teams that are just so huge and have so much blue bloodish to them. Has there ever been a situation where you've actually gone to see one of these teams and it just wasn't what it was cracked up to be? You were just kind of like, eh. And I'll use the Rose Bowl as an experience. When I saw at the Coliseum as well, when I saw Alabama play Texas, all I heard about was just how iconic and how unbelievable this stadium was. And I just was not into it that much. I thought it was really cramped. I thought it was very uncomfortable. I stood in line for 2 hours for a beer, but I was actually in the bathroom line. Maybe that played into it a little bit. But have there ever been some experiences where they just, quite frankly, weren't as cracked up as you thought they were going to be?
Well, I've got a couple of them, and one of the ones you just mentioned. And again, it's not the fault of the historic value of this place, but I took my sons to a Red Sox Yankees game at Fenway, and the Kiefer boys are not we're not petite. We're pretty good size, broad shoulders, big boys. Our seats on a row of about 8 seats were kind of right in the middle of the row. And I mean, you literally had to sit kind of sideways because Fenway being around since 1907, I think people were a lot smaller back then. And our row had a kind of 5 or 6 really big boys, including the Kiefers. And it was so uncomfortable. And the seats were so cramped that it really kind of ruined the experience. My youngest son, Clay, had to get up, and he basically walked around from about the fourth inning on because it was so hot and so uncomfortable. And the Red Sox crowd was uncomfortable because the Yankees just pounded them in that game like 12-3. But that was a little bit of a letdown. And you mentioned, too, the Rose Bowl. The one game I attended there was pretty bummed out to walk in and find out that I was sitting and most of about 80% of the seating are bench seats.
Yeah.
No backs. They're just benches. And by about the second quarter, you're going, my backside hurts. My lower back hurts. This sucks.
It's a lot of concrete too, man.
Yeah. So I really can't understand, because this is, I'm going to say, and a lot of people think this guy's a nut, and he probably is because he involves himself in team operations as far as player personnel. Jerry Jones doesn't really know shit about how to build a team, but Jerry Jones knows how to market a brand. And the new stadium in Dallas is just such a spectacular shrine to the Cowboys franchise. And it's state of the art. It is awesome. The seats are great. That gigantic video board that covers from the 20 to the 20 over top of the field is just epic. And you know, you've got to be a showman, you got to have some Barnum and Bailey in you, because you know these iconic venues are awesome, but you know, it to me, the comfort of the fans is a big part of the experience, And boy, that just was not present at Fenway.
No,
at all.
And listen, Jerry's done it best. And I know Stephen A. Smith is a huge Dallas Cowboy fan. I know how much he loves them. But you're talking about a team that I think has won 12 games each in the last two seasons. And they're drama, man. They are drama llamas, dude. I mean, they are all about drama. They keep the stories out there. And people constantly talk about the Dallas Cowboys. They never talk about championships. But they'll always talk about, not anymore, they don't anyway, but they'll talk about the drama that goes on in that football team. It's unbelievable. Let me throw a couple other at you too. Tennessee is one of those teams where maybe 20 years ago, where it actually, you know, when Alabama went to Neyland, they lost, and when they came down to Alabama, they won. And that was just, and maybe it's because my radio station, which was Dick Broadcasting at the time, was actually centered in Knoxville, and we were the Alabama Crimson Tide flagship station down here. So we were fighting with Knoxville, and it just made the rivalry so much better inside our own office. The rivalry was huge because they wanted to beat Alabama, but they wanted Alabama to win because it was helping our ratings and helping our radio station and the company. And then all of a sudden, it just kind of fell off the face of the earth in Tennessee. Now, recently, they've been obviously a lot better, and they obviously had a great year last year with a great quarterback. But talk about a stadium. I mean, I think at one point they held like 97,000 or something. Now it's 101, something like that. But they didn't expand anything. They just made the seats smaller. That is one of the most uncomfortable stadiums I've ever, you know, I'd always go down to Calhoun's, have me a couple of beverages, have me a rack of ribs, and then run across that interstate line that goes up and then run up the hill. And then would sit in a seat that, you know, my ass is 18 inches wide and the seat was 13 inches wide. And it was one of the most uncomfortable situations. And God forbid if you had in the third week of October, a cold day where you actually had to wear a parka, you were stuffed in there. The Rose Bowl was interesting because I think I had seats 17 and 18, and I think the rows were like 50 seats long or something like that. If you had to get up and pee, you were making a lot of people have to get up every single time. I got to the point where my bladder must have been a little light that day, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to stand this point, because I felt so bad for people having to stand up and down three or four times a quarter. So I just stood on the outside to make my college football brethren a little more happier. And the other thing is, and we haven't mentioned this team, and I know that their coach is going to be out the first four games this year, but what's your thoughts on Michigan being one of those brand teams?
I mean, I guess you have to accept that if you're going to dub Ohio State. I think Ohio State qualifies a lot more by mystique. I don't know, just something about Michigan. They play in the big house and they're always hyped up. This year, the hype is ridiculous, Tony. You know, Reese Davis, Alabama graduate, game day host, who will be kicking his butt in the ratings here locally with our new show. But Reese Davis has come out and say Michigan's so loaded. They look like one of the best teams on paper in recent years. I don't get it, Tony. Jim Harbaugh has been there for 6 or 7 years. Yes, they've gotten into the playoffs the last 2 years by beating Ohio State. But when they played Georgia in the semifinals 2 years ago in the Orange Bowl and were actually favored by a point or two, Georgia just beat the hell out of them. Yep. I mean, it was ugly. Rich Eisen, who's on the NFL Network, longtime ESPN host and a big Michigan graduate. I love the short documentary he made about the experience of going to the playoff for the first time 2 years ago. And he said all the Michigan contingent went to Miami, and Alabama had just beaten Georgia in the SEC championship game and beaten them pretty badly. And he said there was no doubt in anybody's mind. It didn't even occur to them that they weren't going to get by Georgia, that they were so high on their team after just blowing Ohio State out, which broke a 9-year losing streak. He said the expectation of the Michigan fans was unbelievable. They piled into the Orange Bowl, into Miami's Dolphin Stadium to watch the Orange Bowl, which is kind of a shame because it used to be played in the Orange Bowl, which is now leveled. But bottom line is, Georgia, the first two drives went right down the field. It was 14-0 before you could blink. And Michigan could do absolutely nothing because their whole game was predicated on a powerful ground game. Well, for the last 2 years, nobody has gained a yard on the Georgia defense, which now has 9 of their 11 starters in the NFL, unprecedented amount of draft choices in the NFL from that defense. And that's how they thought they were going to dominate the game. And he said the shock of that was just overwhelming. And I was talking to my radio partner, Terry Quillian, who follows everything Georgia, and was watching all the Georgia online postgame shows. And she said, all of a sudden, the stadium went dark in Miami about a half hour after the game. Michigan had booked a victory disco party and had a DJ on the field and had all these strobe lights and all this wild music playing. And of course, there was nobody there for the celebration because they had lost. But that's how confident they were. So kind of surreal. She was watching Brandon Adams, the Georgia, the Dog Nation host, doing his post game on the field. Surrounded by the Michigan victory party, which, you know, the game ended 38-6, I think. And Georgia really called off the Dogs, literally. They could probably beat them 60-6. Last year, Michigan gets there again, and they lose to TCU in a game where they were so sloppy and so bad. Until Michigan does something on the field, I don't buy it. I just really don't. And then you saw what Georgia did to TCU the very next week. 65-7. So, you know, bottom line, Michigan to me is a wannabe. They've got all the elements, but they've got to do something on the field because I just think they're the ultimate chokers.
You want to talk some college football, don't you, brother? You're ready to go, right? Preseason top 25, Georgia, Michigan number 2, Ohio State number 3, Alabama number 4. And by the way, the last 6 times Alabama was not chosen as the odds on favorite to win a national championship, 5 of those 6 times they did. LSU 5, USC, Penn State, Florida State, Clemson, Washington, Texas. And then we have, of course, a number 12, number Tennessee. And I bring them up not only because we've spoken about them here on the Kiefer and Curry Show, which you can hear on Tony Curry Radio at 1 o'clock Central every Monday through Friday afternoon, but also because I believe that Virginia playing Tennessee is going to be that first ABC game on ABC 3340, which means we're going to be butting up right against that. We're on from 10:30 to 11 o'clock on that beautiful Saturday morning. So it looks like we get Virginia and Tennessee that first game coming up on ABC 3340 with the starting lineup with Kip Kiefer and Tony Curry. So we'll look forward to that. Kip, great stuff, man. We'll catch up again next week.
The starting lineup is awesome. Tony and I, the legend, is going to be on our show every week. Terry Quillian and Case Kiefer from Las Vegas. That's as good a lineup as you're ever going to get. We cannot wait. We're shooting commercials today. We can't wait to bring you the show.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.